All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobgood. And we have none other than Junior Burrow. And we are very excited to have Junior joining us tonight as our featured guest. Junior is the last of the UVA Fab Five to finally make an appearance on Who's Talking. And we're delighted to finally track down Junior. And I now know why Junior has been so hard to find, because he's only played for like 25 teams. So
Yes.
Great Scott, Junior. We have had a lot of fun over the years with Corey Alexander. We even tracked down Chris Alexander. Jason Williford has been a frequent guest. And Yuri Barnes has been in studio with us a couple of times and is a good friend of the show as well. So, Junior, you're in good company in terms of your former teammates. And I'm going to kick it over to Hobbo because he's dying to ask you about 50 questions. So,
Absolutely. Junior, we thank you for joining us tonight. And my feeling is this year's Virginia team, probably the most talented team since your group back there in 95. And it's a coincidence that we're having you on tonight as Virginia prepares to play a big game in Cameron. But just take us down memory lane back to that 1995 double overtime win down there. What are your memories of that game down in Cameron?
It's funny that you go, obviously, thank you guys for having me, and it's a pleasure and an honor, and it's always great to, you know, obviously reminisce of those times, and I'm glad you had all those guys on. But just getting back to it, it was just one of those things, like, you know, you're playing Duke, you know, you're playing them on ABC, and you just kind of want to go into it just ready to play, mentally focused. You kind of already know what's going to happen as far as how they're going to guard you. They're going to deny the wings. They're going to make it more difficult. They're really animated at home. The crowd is going to be into it. It's going to be really hot in there. All of those things. And then you can't make a shot in the first half. Cherokee Parks is making everything. Jeff Cable is making every three-pointer. He puts his hands on. You know, all the scouting report stuff isn't working. And you're down 23 at the half. It's kind of one of those things where you just, if you're not with the right group of guys, you quit, you lose. You know, you just kind of, okay, it's a loss. It would have been our first loss in conference, so it's not a big deal, except for when you play with a bunch of guys who want to win all the time. And that's kind of, I kind of think that's what it is. And I know it's a cliche to say it, but when you're around that kind of guys, hey, it's 1 minute at a time, one basket at a time. One stop here, one stop there. Next thing you know, you're only down 11. Now you're down 9, mm-hmm. 4. Corey starts making a bunch of shots in the second half. I get a couple of layups, a couple of dunks here. Curtis Staples makes a three in the corner. They use almost two timeouts in a row. And now you're in the game. And you have all the momentum. And you have them on the ropes. And that's kind of how it happened. You know, if you look back into it and what happened, it's just, and once we got into overtime, we hadn't lost an overtime game in my whole career. And we ended up not losing any overtime games the whole time when we were there. You just know you're going to beat them now. Now you've gotten into overtime. You feel like you're really confident. We feel like we're an execution team. We got the right guys on the floor. We walked them down, and we're going to win the game. And you know, unfortunately for us, it happened that way.
Yeah, hopefully for Hobbo's blood pressure and heart situation, we're not going to fall behind by 23 at the first half tonight. But, you know, one of the things about this year's team, again, similar to your team, is this team has a lot of depth, and that brings up chemistry issues. How did you guys handle that back? Because you had some terrific guys on the bench back in 1995. How did Coach Jones handle playing time and make sure everybody was happy?
Well, it's really funny because at the time, as a player, you know you're playing a lot, or you know you're not playing enough. You don't get caught up in the details of when you're coming in the game. I know our team didn't. I think most of the time for us, it was always in that 3-4, the 3-2 spot between Jamal Robinson, Jason Williford, Curtis Staples, Harold Dean, Corey Alexander. Those are your wings. You know, those are the positions that really were crowded. But Yuri Barnes, myself, Norman Nolan, Chris Alexander, those were, you know, we really played those positions. When it really got a little shaky was when Jason Williford started playing the four. And now you're starting to get smaller, but you're really trying to find the best team to execute. And that's kind of how we ended. I ended up playing the five at the end of games. Jason Williford was playing the four because he rebounded so well. And we just made a lot of free throws. And that really happened after Corey got hurt. But at that time against Duke, Corey and Dean pretty much played all of the minutes. So the landlock was really the three and the four spot between all those guys. And I think we just competed in practice more than anything. The competition, it made practice so much better. It took us a while to get the kind of chemistry you want, who's going to get the ball, where you're going to get the ball. Obviously, our leaders were Corey and Harold Dean. There's not a question about that. And, you know, we really just kind of went as they went. But off the court, man, the chemistry was awesome. I mean, always was, always is, still is. You know, when we're together, we just reminisce. We have a great time. Still love those guys, obviously, to the end. You know, we still keep in touch, our families, our kids, all that stuff. So it just – that's kind of what it was. And, you know, Coach, I never really had a conversation with Coach Jones about playing time or minutes for myself. Either you're doing your job or you're going to come sit down. And it's kind of how, you know, I've gotten into this whole thing about coaching and playing, and my mentality even at the time was just about, you know, we can't win without – you can't beat – we can't win those games against those kind of caliber teams if you don't have other good players around you. So,
you're living up in Washington, and we'll in a couple of minutes before we let you go, we'll ask you about what you're currently doing in that. But let's look to the game tonight because I know you're in the region, so you're certainly familiar with this Virginia team. What do you think has been the difference in the last week or so, coming off that blowout loss down at Tennessee?
Excuse me. I think obviously, and it was a dynamic for me that was really weird. Quanzo Martin was a former teammate overseas. And I talk to him all the time, and I get a chance to talk to Jason Williford all the time. So, you know, you're torn. You want Quanzo to do well, but you just don't want him to do well against your team, obviously. But when you're playing on the road, you have to have an us-against-the-world mentality. And I think after that game of not showing up, really, I mean, really, person for person, not really showing up and understanding what you're dealing with when you're going to Knoxville, I think they've done a great job of redefining what they want to do. Shot selection has been a lot better. Defensively, they've been able to do a better job of helping. And they finished a lot of the plays around the basket. That's really what it's been. And it hasn't been any other key thing. You know, guys have been playing better. Guys have been making shots a lot. But the bottom line is that when you get the right guys taking the right shots at the right time, you can offense a rebound better. The team seems to be moving in that direction. It's very positive on the sideline. And when the ball goes in, it makes everybody feel a lot better, more successful, more defensively oriented. And they seem like they're watching the scouting reports. I mean, if you watch the game against Wake Forest as opposed to what they did against Carolina, Wake Forest wasn't allowed to get in transition at all. They didn't get any secondary rebounds on them. So they just stopped everything that they did against a team that's probably a lot bigger in Carolina.
Well,
so they stopped that.
You just mentioned two keys tonight. Is obviously, to beat Duke, you got to keep them out of transition. And the other thing Duke has done exceptionally well over the decades is the second shot opportunities. How many times have we seen somebody like Shane Battier or somebody like that knocking down a three thanks to an offensive rebound on the Duke end? So you got to rebound a basketball and not turn it over.
And then the thing is that right now they're struggling a little bit offensively. They haven't really found that niche these last few games. Jabari Parker's not doing a very good job of getting clean open looks. And you want to kind of continue that. If you're defensively saying, okay, we're going to crowd him, we're going to make him tough, we're not going to give him anything easy, we're not going to foul him and get him going from the free throw line, we're going to do a better job of just making it harder for him to play. And once you, you know, because what's happened when you're young, a lot of times it's a mental breakdown, oh, here we go again, as opposed to I can work my way through it. And even though he's fantastic and he's all the things we want him to be, the number one pick maybe and all that stuff, he's still 19 years old, 18 years old.
Well, the other thing is a lot faster. People have forgot over the years, one of the keys to Duke's success has been great defensive play. You know, they get out in the passing lanes, and I think sometimes with these young kids, you know, the one-and-doners, they may not fully understand Coach K's defensive system, or at least not execute it as well as Duke teams have done in the past.
Right. Transferring in, you know, they got some transfers. Quinn Cook has been doing a good job of running this team, but I think they're still searching. They don't have any size, so you can kind of beat them up inside. They don't have a shot blocker, even with the guys they do play that play inside. So it's a lot of things that make this Duke team not a normal Duke team. But once these threes start going in, Cameron crazy to go crazy, this you can be in for a long night if you don't catch them at the right time. But this coach has had a lot of success against them. He's played them tough over the last couple of years. He's been in every game, and hopefully he can be able to take that. Coach Bennett has been able to take that into his game plan and everything else, and confidence.
Who's going to win the game tonight?
I mean, I'm going with my heart. Obviously, Virginia's going to win the game. They have everything you need to win the game. We're more athletic than them. We have more size than them. We just have to be careful with the turnovers because you lead to a lot of different things for that team. Fouls, free throws, transition three-pointers, all of those things. So I'll go with Virginia. It doesn't feel like it hurts me to say that. So I think they really have a good chance to be 4-0 in the conference, and if that's really what they need to be looking for, because Duke is going to have a chance to be better, and this, you don't want it to be tonight. You want them to struggle maybe. You want them to struggle a couple of more games as far as the way they're shooting the ball. They're not doing a good job, and you don't want them to get anything easy. So you want to beat them tonight if you're going to beat them.
Yeah.
Junior, don't you think that this might be a game in which Virginia is much more deliberate with the ball? In the last couple of games, Virginia has sort of been looking to run a little bit, which I've been really thrilled to see. But down in Cameron, particularly in the first half, don't you think the Hoos probably will go with, you know, the 10 passes until someone has a good look, and you make Duke play defense for a long period of time and wear them out a little bit, particularly with maybe the inside-out game to Toby, right?
Right. Well, you know what they've done. That's the team. They've lost those three games. They lost to Notre Dame. Notre Dame moved the ball around and got the ball inside. Clemson moved the ball around the other day. They got the ball inside. If you want to beat them, you want to make them play defense for an extended period of time and keep them out of the break. They've been fouling a lot. The problem is, where are we good at?
Mm-hmm.
Is Toby the right guy to catch the ball inside? Does he do a good job of finishing up under there? At Darian Atkins, is he going to do a good job? Is Gil going to do a good job?
Or Kill Mitchell, yeah.
Right. Are they going to be Kill Mitchell? Are those guys going to continue to make the right play as far as not just taking shots but getting double teamed and throwing the ball out or finishing around the basket, because that's the only way you can be successful in an upset situation like tonight? I mean, you have to – whatever you do, it has to work. If you're going to throw the ball inside, you need to make sure that guy takes great shots, because if he's just throwing the ball up there and he's missing his free throws, Notre Dame did a great job of making everything they shot up under the basket, and that's why they won the game. Clemson did a great job last night of just making everything close, making those guys play 94 feet, and defense, and using up some of the shot clock, and they beat them. So we know what the game plan is. It's just a matter of executing. And can we be more athletic and finish around the basket with the guys that we have up under the basket?
I couldn't agree more. Junior, we're going to go to the bottom of the hour break. We'd like you to stay with us. We're going to bring you back on the other side to wrap up our thoughts. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking. Stay with us. Junior Burrow will be with us on the other side.